Now, next Sunday, we're actually, I'm talking about miracles this Sunday too, and probably talk about miracles for a long time now. So I want you to, next Sunday, write down a short statement. Okay, now we're not going to look at your statement of where you want a miracle. Okay. And, you know, we're going to take those and pray over them. What miracle do you need, and are you prepared now to act in faith on the fulfillment of that miracle? Because if you're just wishing, there isn't going to be a miracle. Faith without works is dead, and there has never been a time that I can remember that I did not have to act in faith before a profound miracle occurred. And sometimes it's very difficult for us when we're out of touch. You know, to anticipate or expect God to work a miracle, because we're not walking in that dimension, okay? And so I want to, what one of the teachings I'm going to do is that supplement C. I broke down the first miracle that Jesus did, and surprisingly enough, in that account of John chapter 2, 1 through 11, I broke it down into 21 points. So I could literally do 21 Sundays just on John 2, 1 through 11. I tried to really go beyond the surface with the teaching. I give 21 points, and, you know, like, for instance, it starts out, I break the whole 11 verses down. And so, and I'm not going to teach this morning, but, and the third day, well, we know the third day, you know, Jesus rose from the dead. So we're talking about his unequaled miracle power. I don't know if we realize that why was the resurrection of Jesus the greatest miracle, and will be the greatest miracle Jesus ever performed? Well, it's really simple. It was more than just Jesus being raised from the dead. That miracle continues to go on to this very day of hundreds of millions of people being raised from death to life. See, and so we began to understand the real significance of that miracle when we understand the far-reaching and eternal effects of that miracle. You understand what I'm saying? That's the first point on the third day. Now, I could do, you know, I could do a whole lot of teaching just on that one phrase on the third day. So we need to understand the significance of how profound that miracle was. And so I do 21 points, and what I try and share with that is that every characteristic of any miracle that was ever worked is in Jesus' first miracle. Anywhere you go where you see a miracle, the characteristics of that miracle is found in John 21. In John, John chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. Every one of them. Now, isn't that profound? That's profound. And that's one of the things I discovered. Okay, and so that we're going to be doing that. I do a introduction to miracles in the Old Covenant, and I explain what a miracle is. And I'm going to talk a little bit about some of that today, because most people don't have they don't fully understand, including myself, I'm not, but they don't fully grasp the significance of a miracle. They're acknowledging power that is less than Christ's power. That's just so common among Christians now and in all the teaching. And so, let's see where our sheet is here. Today, when I was laying in bed, as if I needed more material on miracles, but God, okay, let me just say something to you this morning. This little teaching I'm going to do right now came to me in the middle of the night. And I struggled to kind of put it together. Carolyn knows what I mean. I scribbled things, and we really struggled with this. And the wording is not going to be perfect. It needs to go. But it came to me in the middle of the night. It came to me at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I started to pen this stuff, try and write it down so it might not come out. Let's go to Galatians. Let's just stand up for a minute and pray. Lord, we thank you for your unlimited grace and power to speak your word in its unequaled power. And we just thank you for your grace today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to look at Galatians chapter 3, 1 through 6. Galatians 3, 1 through 6, if we could put that up on the screen. That's our opening. And I don't know what happened to all the stuff that we sent up and so on and so forth, but okay, let's read it. We're going to read 1 through 6. I may make a small comment. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? Let's go to verse 2 on that. This only I learn of you. Have you received the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You know, you're not gonna get a miracle by being a good guy through the works of the law. You're not gonna earn it by your good works. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, I don't know about you, but my salvation, the miracle of my salvation and your salvation, came by the hearing of faith. We acted on the truth. It resulted in a eternal miracle. A life-changing miracle. I don't know about you, but I have a testimony of the reality that I am redeemed. I was redeemed. I was saved. That's a miracle. When you can pass from death to life, when you can pass from the old man to the new man in Christ, that is a profound miracle. Okay. Sometimes we don't realize what a miracle that was. You know, we just know it happened. We sometimes don't know the significance of it. We sometimes don't understand the power of it. So this only I learn of you, receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. How does faith come? It comes by hearing. How did you receive Christ? By hearing. How did a miracle of salvation happen? By hearing. Okay, let's go to verse 3. Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? No. You know, once you receive Christ, you can't change yourself. Only the Spirit of God can change you. And it's by faith in Him that there is any growth or transformation whatsoever. You know, it isn't because you are going to be a better person or do better. It's going to be by the faith of the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Let's go to verse 4. Galatians 3:4. Or don't we have it? Okay. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? Verse 5. 3:5. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you. Where does he work miracles? How are they worked, though? They're worked by this Holy Spirit. Not in your flesh. Does he do it by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, it's obvious. Okay. Let's look at verse 6 just for a moment, please. 3:6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Okay, I don't know how far we went with that, but I'm going to stop right there. Now, let me just say a couple simple things to you to start you out, to help us all understand miracles. Number one, this is what the Holy Spirit gave me when I was laying in bed. And I got piles of teachings on miracles, and he shows up. It's okay. I like what he gave me. And here's the first thing he told me, and I was having trouble with the wording. And it's not Carolyn's fault. It's my fault. I usually give it to Tony to kind of reword it a little bit, and it makes it a little more palatable. Number one, we must become miracle-minded. Amen. We must become miracle-renewed-minded. And that's part of the whole problem in our walk with God. We are not miracle-minded. Are you listening to this? We are not sometimes miracle-minded. We are not miracle-renew-minded. We have no expectancy whatsoever of receiving a miracle when we're not miracle-minded. We must walk and live and move in a miracle-minded mindset. Okay. Knowing that Jesus, now we always say it this way. It is easy to say, I believe with all of my heart, Jesus is a miracle worker. That's a general statement. Where do you exercise faith? It's not that you don't believe he's a miracle worker, but what are you putting your faith in what he's going to work? It's a good statement, but it's not going to produce results. Okay. You have to look at, we must take his miracle personal as he is my personal miracle worker. He is my miracle worker. That's how we are, that's how we are to identify with Jesus. Jesus, I receive you as my personal miracle worker with an expectation that the Holy Spirit is going to lead me into walking in miracles. We got to have a real renewed mindset. Okay, and most of the time, much of the time, we don't see miracles because we really don't expect or believe in them. Okay, sometimes you got to face the truth about life. So we must take it personal. Say, take it personal.
Take it personal.
Nobody's going to do this for you. It's wonderful when we can look at another person that's walking in the Spirit and receiving miracles. God wants you to walk in the realm of miracles. You, not somebody else. As wonderful as that is, you must identify with it. It must become personal to you. It must become real to you. Okay. I'm trying to emphasize something this morning. Say it with me. He's my. And that's it. Wait a minute. This is not a selfish statement. To say that he is my personal. No. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal miracle worker. Okay, say it with me. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal miracle worker. Otherwise, nothing will ever change. If you don't believe that you can walk in miracles, you will never have the faith to receive a miracle. And I'm not trying to be negative about it, but you can sit day after day, week after week, unengaged with the Spirit of God working through you to work his miracles. It's up to you. It's up to your faith to believe that. Okay. All right. I don't want to, I just don't want to live anymore in the flesh. In other words, denying his power. Okay. But so God made a promise, okay, in Hebrews. I was thinking of a scripture that in Hebrews 8, where he promises that he would be a God to us. Well, if he's going to be a God to us, then we're going to see him as God, his power working. Okay. He's not a dead God. And when he works with unequaled power. He works in our life with the same power that raised Christ from the dead. If we're not on that side of the cross, guess what? We're relating to a historical Jesus. Facts and figures about him and his birth and death and resurrection that have no miracle reality within them whatsoever. Facts, knowledge. I'm not saying knowledge isn't good. But I want to get into the reality of who Jesus is and what he has already done. Okay. He is God made a covenant with us that he would be our God and we would be his people. Now you go into the old covenant and you see how God related to the Israelites, and it was a tragedy in some respects because they were in unbelief, but there were those that weren't. And how everything, every way that he related to his people, he worked miracles. He demonstrated his power. To relate to God is to relate to the power of Christ and his resurrection. So we become miracle-minded. And a part of that miracle-mindedness is faith without works is dead. Now, every miracle that was ever worked, somebody had to be there. I bring this out in John 2. Somebody acted in faith before there was a miracle. And obviously, the majority of the accounts, God spoke to people and told them to do something. Cast the net on the right side. I can remember, and I don't want to get into it, I have had God speak to me. And I'm not a has-been, by the way, and neither are you. You know, where he would just, the one night, it was a Sunday night, it was cold. And he told me, you know, get up and go to the building. And the building wasn't done. We didn't have insulation. I think we had the walls up. I tell this story because it's so profound. And I was alone here, and that was before the addition where Redeeming Love is right now. And by the way, they're exploding. They're going to have to go to two services. And God bless them. I'm just thrilled with it. So I walked through all the rooms, praying in the Holy Spirit. And when I hit the platform, which of course it wasn't done, it was there, but it was just... All of a sudden, I had been praying in the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden, I started to prophesy. It just started coming out in English, and everything I said profoundly came to pass. Everything. And It was the day, not the day after, because that was a Sunday. It was a Tuesday that I think it was, trying to think of his name. He came in with his crew. Yeah, Bob Reno. And it was a miracle. Everything, just, you know, drywall, then God told me to take one roll of insulation and put it up. And all I remember is trucks backing up to the door. I don't know where the money came from. We had this whole foyer filled with insulation. One faith and one prophecy, one word of God built this building. Don't think that God is not powerful when we are in connection with Him and walking in the Spirit. Don't ever underestimate God. And that's how we live much of our time. We struggle underestimating His power. Now, I'm not the spiritual giant, but I'm just saying that I was in the right place at the right time. When He spoke to me to come to this building, and people were, you know, from outside, were kind of, you know, heckling and laughing at us that, you know, were that, and I'll just tell you, when God shows up, things will change. He shows up as a miracle worker. He shows up to show off His power. Otherwise, we live in a under the circumstances of everything looks impossible. Everything looks helpless. Everything looks hopeless. In our carnal mind, we're trying to figure out how God can do something or will do something. We can't see it. It becomes a struggle. It becomes sometimes we fight with a hopeless feeling. But I've watched God show up too many times. And the end result was the miracle working power of God. Now let's move on. Are you okay with so far? All right. This is hot off the press, 3 o'clock in the morning. Impossible situations. It just seems like at times everything is against you and it looks hopeless. And so we walk in a personal witness. We are God's vessel to work miracles. It must become a personal witness. And you have a personal witness. And not only do you maintain your personal witness, but you act in faith all through your life. That personal witness is going to continue in manifestations of His purpose and power in your life. And then we're joined together in Christ to work corporate miracles. This is the only way we will ever fulfill our corporate destiny, is that, you know, okay, parking lot, you're going to see some other things come up, and we're going to have to decide whether we want to participate in them. He loves to work corporate miracles. Okay. So when I had this written down. It wasn't the best way to write it. when miracles have stopped through unbelief, God can't work. You grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, in John 2, I go into a little bit of detail how Nazareth versus Galilee, because that's where he worked his first miracle. Okay. On the third day, there was a miracle in the city of Cana of Galilee. What was the difference? What was the difference between Galilee and Nazareth? He couldn't do any mighty works there. They almost threw him off a cliff. Folks, if you're going to really follow Jesus, there's going to be hostility. Well-meaning people are going to come against you. Okay. When miracles have stopped, you know, or when that was not a good statement, and it's not Carolyn's fault. When I stop acting in faith and get into a mindset of unbelief, God can't work through unbelief, is what I'm trying to tell you. There's whole religious mindsets where miracles have ceased or they're explained away. And unfortunately, there's too much of that. I'm not talking about foolishness or presumption. When God speaks to you, you have to be prepared to act. We see it all through the scripture. God speaking to people in totally impossible situation. And it looks foolish. Here, Elijah's pond dries up and he tells Elijah to go to a woman who is starving to death. She's going to eat her last meal. And it turns into a miracle of provision. Because some people acted in faith. God is not limited to your circumstance. He is not limited to anything about you. His kingdom is outside limitation. We'll talk about that sometime too. He's not bound by time, space. Okay. You can look at a situation and it can look like, boy, you're done. Well, I'll tell you, Lazarus was done too. I don't know what faith he had involved in it, but I kind of like the song. I don't know it real well, but there's some good songs out there. But I will rise again. Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. I will rise again. Now that was Jesus singing. But you see, we rose with him. Don't you get it? It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead.
Hallelujah.
I will rise again. Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. I will rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Yeah. The devil wants you to believe you're doomed. It's over. You're done. There's no hope for you. Look at the circumstance you're under. And it's always going to be that way at times. You're going to have to face the impossible with knowing the possible God has already overcome on the cross. That's why sometimes, you know what? Emotionally, I'm drained. Circumstantially, it looks over. It seems over. But I see how Jesus rose again. And he rose for us. We rose with him. We walk in that power. That raised him from the dead. We need to. I like that song. There's other ones I like too, but let's just go on for a few more minutes, okay? So we've lived most of our life sometimes misunderstanding God's miracle power. We fail to think, talk, and act in faith for miracles. Say, I have to think, talk, and act. And if your mind isn't there, then there just isn't going to be any ability to exercise faith. I do not really believe that God is unreasonable, that he won't bless anything but genuine faith. And sometimes we blame God for things that go wrong, but we never built our faith up to overcome. Living life in the natural world is impossible. You're not going to defeat death in both realms. You're not going to defeat it. I just wish there's so many things I want to study. I was doing a study on hell, and actually, I did 13 messages back years ago on that, and I left them all at the other church, so I don't have them. But I mean, I'm going somewhere with this. Anyway, I saw on the internet, I don't know, it was the last statements of famous atheists. Oh, was that an eye-opener? You know, where people witness their last. I'm going to do that teaching. It's so profound. God, raise your hands out to me that God allow me to live 120 years because I want to teach the Bible. I want to teach the Word. I want to see the miracle power of God work. So we live our earthly life this way, surrounded by contradiction. Everything denies Christ. You know, the Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. But it says, consider him that endured such contradiction. Say contradiction. See, that's what you're enduring in life, is contradiction. Lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Life, when you get up in the morning, you have to face contradiction. Life is against you. And you must overcome it in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, we're going to close here in a minute, but I just want to... Miracles, let's talk about the difference between the supernatural and the unequaled power of God, the resurrection power of God. Most Christians don't understand what they're teaching when they talk about the supernatural. And I just want to show you the difference between the unequaled power of God that can never be equaled by Satan and his power. Satan could not save us. Only the resurrection could save us. And that's why I have a hard time. There's nothing wrong with the word supernatural. But Satan operates in that realm. That's the first thing I want you to understand about the supernatural. He works in that realm. And I'll show you what I mean, at least a couple thoughts on it. Let's go to, real quick, are you still with me for a few minutes? Okay, let's. Exodus 7, 8 through 13. And the Lord spake to Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. So here's the difference between unequal power and supernatural power. Let's go to the next one. And Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. Now they're acting in faith. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Go to verse 11. And Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Say wise men and sorcerers. Say sorcerers. Sorcery works within the realm of supernatural power. That's as high as it can go. It can never equal the name above every name. Never. Never. Never can it equal the power that raised Christ from the dead. Now, his power is supernatural, but it's far beyond that. You know, turn the television on now. They've got... what's that program? America's Got Talent. I mean, they got sorcerers coming right on the platform doing supernatural feats. That's not Christ's power. Okay, and Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt. This has been going on forever. Supernatural demonstrations of power, satanic power, have been going on forever. Look at it. And they also did in like manner which with their enchantments. Now, if you want to study that scripture out, you can see how supernatural, how Satan works supernatural, how people learn through the occult supernatural power. It's in the world. It can be very fascinating. Enchantments. Let's look at it. And this is something for you to study. Sorceries, musicians, magicians. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. It's all over. People are fascinated. All your secret societies are based on enchantments. They're based on sorcery. And it is Satan's supernatural power. Okay, let's go to verse 12. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. So now they're duplicating Moses' miracle. But here's the bottom line. Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod. Story over. Okay, God's power prevailed. Boy, oh boy, we need to be thankful for that. That spiritual death has been overcome.
Amen.
Swallowed up in victory of the cross. Okay. Isn't that a profound account? And I don't know if we have one more scripture there or not. I don't know. We really had a time getting this one up. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart that he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. Okay, you got hardened hearts. They can stand, sit right there and watch a miracle and harden their heart. But it doesn't change the power of God. So you're going to see a lot now that, let me just put it this way to you. You're going to see a lot of deception through enchantments and occult power. A lot of it's going to happen now in the world. It's going to accelerate. It's going to deceive God's people. Hear me, please. Know the difference. You know, there's always a great temptation. It's just fascinating to participate in power that promises something and get caught away in that because it works. It can work. Okay, they have schools where they train people to do these enchantments. Okay, so I just hope you understand why I'm trying to say supernatural isn't a bad word. It's just the power that Satan uses. Okay, it is supernatural. We can marvel at it when we don't understand God's superior power. Okay. Now let's just read a couple scriptures and then we're going to close. It is clear that Satan and his kingdom operates in supernatural, and then I put after that limited power. It can never equal Christ. And the power of his resurrection can never equal that. You got it?
Yes.
All right. I'm not interested in any of it. It can be fascinating. But it's power that we're forbidden to participate in because it's demonic power. Okay. Now, let's just look real quick at a couple scriptures in closing. Well, I want to show you how Satan has the power of supernatural power. And there's so many scriptures. Here's one in Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had what? The power of death. That through death he might destroy him that had what? The power of death. Satan has no power of life. He has power of death. Okay, and there's a lot of people that are going to die separated from God because of that power. And then John 10:10, the devil cometh not but to rob, steal, and destroy. He's killing people. He's robbing and stealing, and it's supernatural. It's supernatural loss. I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Okay. I'm just trying to show you how the devil is working through supernatural power. And when you don't know Christ and his power, it's very easy to be tempted to begin to participate in that. You understand what I'm saying? Very easy to get into that. It's fascinating. Power is fascinating. Okay. And then Acts 10:38. Okay, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with what? Power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Who's oppressing people? Who's supernaturally oppressing people? Oppression is satanic. It's supernatural. People are dying under it because they don't know how to resist it and overcome it. A lot of good people have died oppressed, who love God. Oppression is satanic. It's supernatural. And then 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 19 through 12. That's the last one. Even him, this is how the Antichrist is going to come into He's going to come into the temple. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power. Now, when we look at these words, there's a lot of understanding. Signs and lying wonders. Okay, is coming. Hey, you ask yourself, how are people going to be deceived? Well, there it is. Okay. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Let's stand up. Thank you for your undivided attention. Lord, you are risen from the dead. And today we acknowledge Christ as our miracle worker. I just pray, I speak to sickness and disease. I speak to need. that this has already been defeated and overcome. And I speak that your grace would open our eyes to the reality of who Jesus is and what he's done and what he is going, what he is doing and will do in and through our lives. And we thank you for victory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen and amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah.